So we're here at Desolation Peak. It's 1:47 on Wednesday, the 14th of August, 2013. And El Habib Luay and I made it barely, probably aided by all the mountain huckleberries we could find and blueberries. Habib, welcome to the Northwest. It's good to have you here. I'd like to get some real background on your life and how you came to study the beats. And you come from a village. You're a Berber, so you're a native Moroccan, and both your parents are illiterate.
Yeah, sure. I'm a native of Morocco, as you just mentioned, Berber people. We tend to live in big communities, but we don't live in big cities. We tend to live in small villages. And my parents, both of them, are illiterate because they had to deal with social issues, at the beginning. They are from poor families, and they had to take care of their children, so they didn't have time to go to schools. And basically, this is what happened back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. And it's only around 80s that people in Morocco started to go to, the majority of Moroccan people started to go to schools. So I come from this family, Berber family, illiterate family, and I'm the only one so far who has position as a teacher of English in a middle school. And I came through some writings of Kerouac when I started to do research on countercultural movement. And I think it's because my own family, the situation of my parents at that moment, being from a poor family, struggling to live a decent life, made me think about one possible way to change the conditions maybe of my family. And I thought that most of them, I think the problems that people suffer from at that time are associated, in fact, with the political issues of our own time, the dictatorship of our own leaders, the corruption of our own representatives in prime ministers and so on. And I thought that there must be a way to try to change the conditions, social conditions of people through literature. And when I started this research, I came across what is known as counterculture movement, and then I got more focused and I looked into what is known, widely known as the Beat Generation literature, and I came across writings of Ginsberg, his poetry basically, and Kerouac, and I loved right from the beginning this spirit of constant search for something. And I in Kerouac's writings, and I loved the spirit of being always against the mainstream in Ginsberg's writings, his poetry basically. That's how I came to be interested in, I got interested in the beats. I started to translate their own poetry into Arabic. I started to translate Michael McClure. I started to translate Joan Kiger and Amira Baraka and Ginsberg as well, and many others.
There's a crowd here today at Desolation Peak, so we're hearing voices of people who've made the hike up here. The very strenuous hike. It took us about 6.5 hours, but we stopped for huckleberries and blueberries. So, I want to get the sense, because you're buying as many books as possible and people giving you as many books as possible. And so getting books to your village, getting to books to Agadir, it can be a difficult thing. So I'm wondering how it was, Ginsberg and Kerouac and the Beats, how did you first realize that they existed? That I guess that's the question.
Yeah, I think most of what I do basically is to know about a particular literary movement or a theoretical maybe trend, or I go back always to introductions to something, introductions to French literature, introductions to English literature, introductions to sociology and so on. And through my readings of these introductions to English literature, I came across the Beats, although they have been undermined in so many ways because maybe of their own subversive spirit. So that's how I came across the Beats, and also because I started to watch, certain number of movies and films which have been, in fact, filmed during the 70s. And I remember here, Born to be Wild, which reminds me always, of that constant rebellious spirit. That's how I turned out looking into the movies, and that's how I turned out looking into, that period of the 50s, 60s, which I think is the most important countercultural historical movement in the States, in all over the world. And also because I think my father, he grew up during the 60s, and he has this tendency to show this spirit, even in the way he dresses, the music that he listened to, although he did not listen to English songs at that time, but he was conscious of what was going on in 1968 with the French student revolution. So the way he dresses, the way he, he cut his hair, the way he, talked about, the revolutionary movements, even though he was illiterate, there is, I think, an awareness of what's going on around him. And this shows in the fashion, the clothes that he was, that he wore all the time, the music that he listened to, which was also revolutionary. I mean the music, the Moroccan music, at that time, which was also revolutionary, and which was in fact produced, sung in the same stream as the French Revolution, the French 1968 student revolution.
Talk to us about your PhD work. This is the Beat Connection in Morocco. They visited, obviously. If you could maybe go over some of the points that you went over in your talk at the Spring Street Center at the Subud House on Sunday. The impressions of the Moroccan people of the Beats, and what specifically you're focused on with your PhD work.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk basically about this topic when I was asked to choose a topic for my MA dissertation. The first one was about the Beats, and the second was a comparative study of key concepts in Ibn Arabi and George Hans Gadamer's writings. So the Beat topic was not accepted, and it turned out to be my own PhD dissertation topic. So I always had this love for the Beats, for the subversive spirit of the Beats, their own deep interest in changing the conditions of subalternity in so many ways, gender, sex, social representation of the people, political maybe, and representation of the people. So my PhD is basically going to be about, it's going to be a comparative study of the cultural encounter between the Beats and the Moroccan writers. And I'm trying to look at the facets or the characteristics of the Beats writings and the Moroccan writings back in late 50s and through the 60s. I'm trying to argue against this very biased point of view or standpoint which comes all the time from the Western literature. There is a belief that everything new, novel, in all different, in different fields of studies, there is a tendency to believe that everything new comes or originates from Europe and from West, generally speaking. So by extension, there is a belief that there is a deep belief in what is called Eurocentricity, So I'm trying to argue from the point of view of someone who comes from the East, someone who is looking at things from an Occidental point of view. I'm trying to argue by studying the history of the beats in Morocco, by studying the history of Moroccan 60s literature, I'm trying to argue that the distinctive features of beat literature existed in Moroccan literature in the 60s and even, you know, late in the 50s, before they came across anything written by or produced by beat artists, poets, and novelists or musicians. So this is basically the argument of my PhD dissertation. And I'm going to focus on a number of texts, but not as many as would distract me from my own argument. So I'm looking at the writings of two famous Moroccan storytellers, novelists, if you wish, Mohamed Choukri and Mohamed Mrabat. So I think these two people, these two artists, writers, novelists, represent the Moroccan beat spirit in their own writings, and none of them spoke a good English. I think Mohamed Mrabat speaks Arabic and Moroccan. Maybe he speaks classical Arabic, and he understands and he speaks very well Moroccan colloquial dialect, which is a version of classical Arabic. Mohamed Choukri, he did not learn classical Arabic until the 20s, you know, in his life. And he happened to write his novel in Spanish, which was quite a very present and most spoken language due to colonial history in the north of Morocco. So he wrote it in Spanish, and then Paul Bowles asks him to transcribe this novel in Moroccan colloquial language, and from that, because he could not understand classical Arabic and he could not really speak Spanish, so he translated For Bread Alone, which is in classical Arabic, Al-Khubz Al-Hafi, from Moroccan colloquial Arabic into English, and then he managed to make this novel itself more available, you know, in Western societies later on. And I think this novel, For Bread Alone, Al-Khubz Al-Hafi, represents the spirit of unconventional literature, countercultural literature in Morocco, in North Africa, generally speaking. And Mohamed Choukri was not aware of what was going on in the 60s, and he did not read any of the beats literature. He was there during their own short visit, which took approximately 2 months. You know, I'm talking here about Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, Peter Orlovsky, Gregor Corso, and Burroughs. So Burroughs stayed for I think more than 5 years in Morocco, and he traveled back and forth between Morocco and the States, and he wrote Naked Lunch. Naked Lunch was inspired by the social conditions, the cultural conditions of the people there in Tangier, before he even thinks about maybe the repercussions of the beat spirit in the States, the conditions of Moroccan people, the hashish, the drugs, narcotics, sexuality, homosexuality, and all these issues were present there as part of a daily Moroccan life. So he did not search for all these elements back home in the States. They were present there. They were part of a daily quotidian life in Morocco. That's why I think the argument of my own dissertation is very cognate, in the sense that it starts from its own historical conditions, and then it tries to look at the repercussions of this on the American beat 60s literary movements.